This podcast is sponsored by Monarch.
Lifesaver.
Game changer.
The best thing to ever happen to my finances.
The people have spoken. Monarch makes personal financing a breeze.
Monarch is an intuitive, powerful, collaborative finance app that can help you save, budget, and keep your financial life in shape.
With Monarch, I can see my account balances, transactions, and investments in one place, so I always know what's going on with my money.
Whether you're saving for your first home, thinking about starting a family, your own business, or planning for retirement, Monarch is here for you every step of the way.
Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Monarch and manage your finances more effectively. See what thousands of people are saying about Monarch, the app Wall Street Journal voted the best budgeting app of 2024. Collaborate with your partner or financial advisor at no additional cost. Get a 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. That's monarchmoney.com/podcast for your free trial. monarchmoney.com/podcast.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
No man, diamonds on my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep praying, lot of shine. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine. Pockets running over with the dollar sign. Try to take it from me.
Welcome to episode 258 of Fourth and John. I'm Gail Saunders here with Chris Malley, Evan Hearn, and Prime in the building. We are doing a remote kind of show today. You know, lots been going on this week. The AFC NFC Championship week was spectacular. Even as Eagle fans, we were geeked watching great football. But we are down here again talking about the Senior Bowl as well. We're down here in Mobile, Alabama. So it's been a crazy ride, no pun intended, like 16 hours of riding, but it's been well worth the trip. But first and foremost, you know, just it's a lot of experience watching, you know, some players, some college players we love and like. But let me get back to the playoffs. I'm all over the place right now. I've been going for 8 hours straight, but the playoffs were amazing, man. Like, you know, the Bengals, Prime and Evan were heavy on them. Watching them get into the playoffs was pretty. I was pretty geeked for Joe Burrows. Brought a lot of swag to the table. We got rid of Jackson Mahomes and Mahomes' wifey. So I think that's a win for everybody. But I think just overall good football from the Rams as well. Stafford finally making it. Talking about going from the bottom to the top. He's in the Super Bowl. I think he deserves an opportunity. You talk about Aaron Donald. You talk about Rams. You talk about LBJ making a great selection. But overall, how was your – I mean, you guys were hitting me up while we're on a ride down. We were trying to watch it on a phone. Chris got to see most of it. But how do you guys think of the playoffs?
I mean, I almost didn't catch it myself. I was in the middle of a move, and we had a whole rigmarole with Verizon and Xfinity trying to figure out our cable and internet. So we figured that out Saturday night at midnight, thankfully right before Championship Sunday. So I was able to watch that in peace. But, man, that was an exciting weekend of football. I mean, honestly didn't really anticipate the Bengals being able to pull it off this year and make the Super Bowl, but – they're shocking everybody this year. And the Rams, you know, Matt Stafford finally making that such an awesome story. This is one of those Super Bowls that I feel like doesn't happen very often that, like, I'm sitting here like I am happy with whoever wins. I'm happy if Matt Stafford gets a ring. I'm happy if the city of Cincinnati gets a championship. Either way it plays out, I'm just hoping for some good football 2 weeks from now. So I'm happy with the result. I'll be happy with the winner. Joey B is super fun to watch, man. He really has not missed a beat since playing in LSU. He had the injury last year, and he has come back in full force this year. And Jamar Chase, absolutely. Jamar Chase is another guy that has not missed a beat. these guys are going to be beasts in the NFL for years to come. And yeah, it just got me thinking about the new era of football, because I was thinking about when Brady was retiring. That's obviously new news that just broke as well. I was thinking about like how that era of football is officially over. The Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, Tom Brady, Phillip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, all these guys. That's kind of the end of an era, but that is opening up the door for Justin Herbert, Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, all these young stars that are really budding. It's exciting to see what the next generation of football is going to be like.
Well, first and foremost, I'm glad you guys were able to find your ways down in Mobile, Alabama with no problems, man. The weather hit pretty hard over here over the weekend, but you guys were able to go ahead and figure out a way to make it happen. So I'm glad you know, you guys had safe travels. And Evan, I'm glad you were able to accomplish your goal and getting into your place, man. Yeah, I mean, I know we were speaking over the weekend and you were like in the middle of the move and all that stuff. But look, yeah, let's talk about football, man. It was some great playoff football once again. I agree, man. It was good to see Kansas City and San Fran get bumped out. Probably because tired of hearing Kansas City Chiefs fans, tired of hearing these San Francisco fans. No pun intended to my sis Jen, you know what I mean, Kincaid's wife. But yeah, it was, you know, it was just still, I was rooting for Cincinnati all the way. I thought they really had a good chance, and they proved that, man. They never gave up. They played a hell of a game. Joey B did his thing, and the team came together. That defense really opened up on that second half, and they shut that Kansas City offense down. So it was just like exciting to watch the game. That was the game that I was really excited to see throughout the whole day. Not so much for the Rams and San Fran. I mean, it was pretty much whatever outcome for that one, even though I was rooting for the Rams. But seeing Cincinnati get in there, and then again, you know, congrats to Matt Stafford, man. It's like you mentioned, Gale, going from the bottom to the top. I mean, he just shows, hey, you put me on the team, on the right team, with the right people, I can make things happen. And he proved that, man. So I'm really happy for him. And, you know, to pity pack off of what you said, Evan, I'm good either way, seeing either Matt or Joey win this thing. So it's pretty cool. This is probably the first in a long time Super Bowl that I felt like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm okay with either outcome. But look, the big show's here, man. It's going to be a slow 2 weeks, but then, you know, we're going to have the big game. I'm looking forward to that halftime show. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a lot going on, but how about we hear some more of what's going on for you guys, man? I mean, you guys down over there around the NFL family, the NFL life, what's it like? Like, I mean, you guys look like you're in a NFL kiddie land.
I'll let Chris speak on it real quick.
I mean, it's been a journey, man. I mean, last year when COVID hit hard and we were not able to go in person to the Senior Bowl, it was horrible, man. Like, ever since I was a kid, I've wanted to be here. This is like Disneyland for someone who's into scouting players. And to deal with a blizzard, to deal with having to get a 48-hour negative COVID test to be allowed to enter any of the facilities or anything, to go through all that, get through the snow, 2 days of driving, and get here, and then you get in your credentials, and you're like, man, like, I just want to go to the hotel. And then you're sitting there, and then coaches are walking in, scouts are walking in, and then you start seeing content creators like Eric Crocker from the 49ers, and then all of a sudden you see players from Alabama, LSU, Georgia, all these guys that you're watching in the college football championship, and since they were like 18 years old, like, they're all just walking in the room, and they're coming up to you and starting a conversation, and then you got coaches and you have scouts asking you what you think about these players. I mean, it's just surreal. I mean, couple hours ago, we were just on the field talking to Malik Willis, and just a really impressive guy on and off the field. And then an hour ago, we're in a building, and James Franklin from Penn State's talking. We have Nick Saban talking, Auburn's head coach talking, Kirk Herbstreit. It's been a surreal last 2 days, but just really appreciate the love from you guys and just everyone else that's supporting us. And we're just really excited to report back. I mean, The Eagles have, I think, 10 draft picks right now, 3 in the top 19. And I'm telling you, like, there's a lot of guys down here that they can make an instant impact on our team or any team. Because last year, a lot of the starters are coming from the Senior Bowl last couple of years. I mean, dude, look at it. Like Josh Allen, Senior Bowl, Justin Herbert, Senior Bowl, Deebo Samuel, Senior Bowl. Like some of the best players in the NFL right now are all Senior Bowl guys. They're guys that impressed outside of the combine. A lot of the guys down here say they don't even care about the combine anymore, like the 40s, whatever, because like what receiver is going to be in a three-point stance and running down the field? Like they want to see these guys like raw. They want to see them out in the hotel, how they're interacting with scouts, how they're interacting with fans. And it's been awesome, man. It's just really exciting to get to know these guys. I mean, just talking to these players and these coaches, like you see why these guys are where they're at. And people just need to understand that like the talent's there. It's really about the team, the coaches, just putting these guys in the position to succeed. But overall, it's been an awesome experience so far, and it's just getting started. I'm really excited for the rest of the week and Saturday to see them playing a game.
Yeah, I mean, it's been crazy, man. Like y'all know, I'm a geek when it comes to draft. You know, just having this opportunity that we all create. You know what I mean? Like we create opportunities for ourselves, and the fact that we're able to go down there and cover the draft like we want to, still be fans while we're doing it, but still scout some of the prospects. It's just I had this funny moment just like going back to how many years I've been doing this, like being 17 years old, sitting in a Marriott hotel, and my first player was Aaron Glenn. Like I loved him as a cornerback. I just want to get a photo with him, just meet him, talk to him. And here I am 30 years later, and who comes out? Coach Aaron Glenn.
Yeah,
and
you finally get to meet him.
I'm still doing this 30 years later, and it just speaks to the passion that like I have about just the draft itself. But you know, we got an opportunity to see, some old faces. You know, you got Joe Douglas, and Deuce was out there. Definitely, same old dudes, man. You know, same old dudes. Joe Douglas, he's calling shots for the Jets, but just a regular dude. The setting is you just walk around and there's people everywhere, but not everybody is psycho enough to know people by faces, except for us. So we're like calling people out, and you're like the Wyoming linebacker. You're like, Chad Mumma, come here, dude. And he's just like, and it's funny to see the SEC guys. They're like, yo, been there, done that. A Wyoming linebacker is like, hey, who wants to talk to me? I'm here. Let's go.
Yeah.
So Chris is out here. We're all putting in work, man, but Chris is putting these guys in headlocks, getting numbers in the phone. Phone numbers.
So, walk me through what it's like in the day of you guys down there at the Senior Bowl. Like, how are you guys starting your day out? Schedule out your day.
Well, this is how crazy today was, man. It was like 5:30, and I was just excited. I was like tired but excited. But I'm like, all right, like I'm gonna go to the quote unquote gym in the hotel. It's not really anything, but I go in there and there's like a sign that says maximum occupancy, one person. And like I'm like, oh, I'm gonna have to wait for this guy. And this guy is on the treadmill. He's like, I don't give a gosh darn about this. He's like, get in here, man. And I'm on the treadmill and I'm talking to this guy. And then half an hour goes, and I'm like, we have literally talked about every single thing in the world. And he goes, oh, by the way, Corey Proctor. He goes, and I'm like, I know who you are. I was like, you played in the NFL. Like, I know who you are. And sorry, Eagles fans. He was a Dallas Cowboy, but he was just a cool dude, man. And like now he runs a business and like a wealth management company, just taking care of like players, agents, and everything on the back end. But dude, like worked out with him for like an hour, and then I'm eating breakfast, and Gail comes up, and then Gail sits down, and conversations just start. And man, he's just telling us all these crazy stories about like road trips with like major players, like
Dan Campbell,
like driving in a blizzard, yeah, and like not even stopping to like pull over to switch seats, like guys, like NFL players, like driving an RV and like switching seats, going like 60 miles per hour in like a blizzard, and just like all like man, like we partied so long, we closed the bar, and then the bar owner drove us 2 hours back to Dallas, like all these crazy stories, like professional NFL players, and then Perry Carr, he played with Tim Brown and that era of the Raiders. He's sitting down eating cornflakes next to us, talking about, like, oh, like, what players do you guys like? And then just, like, really cool conversations, man. And, like, that's even before we leave the hotel.
I mean, so you're literally – there's so many people that are down here in Mobile, and you can kind of tell who's – how people are moving because, like, people down here are extra – you know, just a little slower than, you know – just everyone else because everyone's down here for the Senior Bowl. But like when you get into the Senior Bowl, it was kind of like, I mean, I heard like you know, the angels singing and just I was like, this is like the holy Mecca for me. So, you know, when they talk about like being at bars and overhearing conversations or like it's a real thing. So like we're watching the game. We're here listening to some Detroit Lion folk talking about like Jeff Okuda getting moved to safety.
It's crazy the things that they're saying.
They're talking about like Kyle Hamilton might be a second overall pick.
Are these Detroit execs or are these Detroit like beat writers? Or
these are like the head of scouting, a head of player personnel people. Like so, it's amazing. Like you'll be in the elevator and some guy will just like be like crap talking a player or like a person and you're like, oh my God, like they're talking about so-and-so. And like, they were talking about like draft picks. They're talking about like Pro Bowl, all pro, like, yo, this guy's $16 million. Let's throw him in the trash. And like, they're just like talking openly, like at these practices about like human beings on their team. They're like, they're like, and then like Nick Saban was talking about, like, yeah, you don't like that guy in the NFL. You fire him. He's like college. You try to make him a better person. NFL, fire them. Like it's just crazy these conversations.
So I mean there's
you made a comment that so being there, what's it, is it different, is it a different perspective seeing these players and these plays happening live than what you guys are custom watching on YouTube or videos to see, you know, is it a whole lot different perspective on that?
I think it's weird just because I like the way that we did it before and you're seeing like putting up videos and like trying to get as much nuggets as you can, but to now actually you're at right on the field and throwing it up. Like you put out a prospects video and then next thing you know, Memphis is retweeting it. And
right. Okay.
Every single one, any player or person that's rooting for that player there, is retweeting it. I mean, the family atmosphere, you see a lot of players that are here. Some of their families are here, their agents are here. You realize there's a team effort, man. Like you see a guy, a prospect on the field, they got like, you know, 10, a whole team around him, like supporting him. And after practice, it's like, how'd you do? And the agent's sitting here like, bro, don't worry about what you did. Right. Make sure you get this rep against. And you're hearing these like conversations that are very organic. And it's like, it's cool to watch in person.
Did you expect the amount of NFL personnel there that you guys are running into?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, last year due to COVID and the combine just being reduced to what it was, almost nothing last year due to COVID. And this year, so many of the draft picks and best players, like I was saying before, are from the Senior Bowl. And this year, because a lot of guys opted out of last year and are seniors this year, like this is the cream of the crop this year. Like there's Draft Network and NFL Network, like they put out their top 100, like 50 of the top 100 guys are all down here at this game. All the quarterbacks that are going to be like the first and second round picks are all at this game. The only guy that's not here is Matt Corral, and that's because he's dealing with that knee injury. But overall, though, like you're standing next to like Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis. Like these are the guys who are going to be the poster faces down in Vegas for the draft. Like they're all here and all the top agents are here. I mean, Drew Rosenhaus, who's the powerhouse, like biggest sports agent in the world. He's here sitting like probably like 10 feet away from us. But yeah, the picture of Kenny Pickett, I'm telling you, like no, regardless of your stance on the quarterback situation in Philadelphia, all I got to say is Kenny Pickett is a class act. We were talking about the Eagles and he was like, man, there's nothing like the link. And he was just saying like how cool it would be to play there. But I'm telling you, like, when you see that kid throw the football and you just see the command he has around the team and just, like, he's very secure in himself. Like, he's very polished because I was talking to him, and meanwhile, there's, like, a bunch of people who are, like, over a railing, like trying to like hand him like a helmet to sign and everything. And just like to see the way he like just like managed it. He's like, hey, like, how you guys doing? Nice to meet you. Appreciate you guys coming out. He's like, I got a tight schedule. Meanwhile, he's holding my phone and putting his number in my phone. He's like, Chris, nice to meet you. He's like, let's set up an interview. He's like, if I ever down an Eagles game, he's like, I'll stop by. And that's just cool, dude, man. I mean, Malik, extremely cool. It's just very impressive group of people. But yeah, Prime, like, and the execs, like, there's not really a lot of egos, man. I mean, like, people are coming up to us and like asking us stuff, and like, people just know, like, you're there for a reason. We're there for a reason, and people ask your opinions on players. People ask your opinions on things, and like, everyone's just down there putting in work and enjoying themselves.
And so I just want to ask a question based off the whole QB thing. Because, I mean, you know, it's been one of those things that we've talked about this offseason. There's an unsureness about moving forward with Jalen Hurts, the franchise quarterback. But then we've also heard just about how the crop this year coming out in the draft isn't, you know, that isn't what it's been in years past. Is there any QB that is kind of jumping off the page? Is it still too early in the practices to see? And then on top of that, like, I kind of fear with without any QBs being in, like, the top 10 conversation – that there's a team that's going to be bound to reach for a QB.
Oh, I think, you know, if you need a QB, you know, like, teams are going to look for a guy that down here that's steady Eddie. And right now, Kenny Pickett is look everything that's advertised. I mean, you look at Malik Willis, had a great day today. Saw him on the field today. He was super cool. But he was also super cool on the field. You know, there's Carson Strong, who had, you know, he overthrew some balls. I think accuracy, you definitely want to look into cleaning that up this week. I mean, but overall, like, as much as, you know, we're talking about first round quarterbacks, I mean, and potentially, like, if that's a thing that Howie's looking at or whatever, but there's also rumors down here, like, in rumors of, like, Deshaun Watson trade, perhaps, like, that. These rumors are, like, flying around here, and, like, in you know, we're sitting here trying to, like, gauge what is what could potentially happen. And then, you know, on this podcast, we've been talking about, I mean, I have been talking about, like, having first round picks doesn't sit well for a draft. Dude, to get three picks would be amazing, but for Howie to have three picks, that smells fishy to me. So, like, if that's, you know, in their forecasting things, like, if that was a thing, like, and who said that? How Eskin's been dropping some hints there on the timeline?
No, so Eskin was on the radio earlier tonight, and someone mentioned to me, because I was talking about the Watson stuff that I've heard, and they said that Eskin was, like, hinting at it. And mostly, like, no one really down here is talking about it too much, but you see the interactions. I mean, Howie and Sirianni were down here, and you saw them literally standing next to Houston's top guns on the sideline. Oh, and it was crazy though, because, like, you're talking to people down here, and, like, people are like, man, like, the coaches and GMs around here hate Howie. And I'm like, yeah, like, there's literally a poll before the season that he was voted least trustworthy by NFL agents, because, like, he rubs them the wrong way. And I was just like, it's just a bad look. But at the same time, I mean, right now the Eagles are in really good position. But back to your question, Evan, because it's really important to me, the whole quarterback thing. I mean, regardless of people's stances on Jalen Hurts or just, like, the other free agent guys, I feel like it's kind of just been, like, everyone's been, like, ear to mouth, just, like, regurgitating the same thing about the quarterback class not being that good. Listen, last year everyone was talking about Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields and Trey Lance and, like, how great they're going to be. Like, people were talking about Trevor Lawrence for 3 years, saying, like, no matter what, he's going to be the first overall pick. And that happened. He was not good last year. He went, like, 3-4 weeks without throwing a touchdown pass. Is it his fault? No. The Jacksonville Jaguars are not a good team. And it's just one of those things where Mac Jones ended up being the best rookie quarterback. I don't know why. He went to a good system. He went to a good team. And he went to a coach that understands his strengths and tried to mask his weaknesses. I mean, Davis Mills balled out in the back half of the year. And it's just one of those things where I've never been one of those people that's been saying this is a bad quarterback class. I think it's a really good quarterback class. The whole thing is, I think that there's value to be had. I don't think that any of these guys are necessarily going to go, like, like maybe Pickett goes like top five, maybe Malik goes top 10. And it doesn't have to devalue you just because you're not like a number one pick as a quarterback. It just means that these guys like Hutchinson, these guys like Thibodeau, Derek Stingley Jr., Kyle Hamilton, they're just elite prospects at their position. And the quarterbacks that are in the draft, they're really good. I mean, Pickett is a guy that is throwing like 4,000 yards, 40 touchdowns in at Pitt. That's incredible. Malik Willis, everyone's like, oh, he went to a small school. It's like he was the top recruit at Auburn. He just transferred out. And what's up?
No, I wanted you to finish your.
Just real quick. I'm saying like these guys are impressive, man. Like everyone's here watching these guys, and they're like, holy shit, Carson Strong just threw the ball 80 yards without even trying. Like, and these, like, that's the thing. Like, this is a bowl game. People need to remember, like, don't worry about where these guys are coming from. Like, that's why I wish that you could almost rip off like the logos and stuff, and you could just see these guys play, because some of the best players today, they're all from the small schools, and they're going against the best players in the country, like Bama guys, Georgia guys. They're getting beat by guys from like Louisiana Tech, like all these like random schools, because they want it, man, and they're trying to showcase and get a job.
I mean, the biggest thing is like all these negatives that they're coming into about every single prospect. These prospects are now trying to battle against all the things that have been said about them all season. So like, if they start showing these little things that they've been talking about, the draft scouts are out here. They're ready. They're ready to fly off a tweet in a second. So like,
yeah,
kind of crazy.
Do you think that there's any way that this plays out similar to the 2013 draft, where I'm looking at that and there was not a quarterback that was selected until the 16th pick, and that was EJ Manuel? And that's kind of the thing that's in the back of my mind right now, where I'm exactly talking about, I don't want to take a quarterback just for the sake of taking the top quarterback. Is it because EJ Manuel was a reach in hindsight?
Definitely not the same. I think, you know, any team that's a QB hungry team will, you know, try and lock up their dude. Like you think about Washington, think about
Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay, right now. You know, I mean, these guys retiring. Yeah.
Tampa's going right back to the bottom of the barrel. I love it, dude. They're gonna be trash.
Well, I don't know. Brady, I mean, the word is that they're probably gonna go after Jimmy G.
Okay, my statement stays the same. Stays the same. Jimmy G's trash.
I'm just saying.
I can't wait for Tampa to be bad again, man. After going there and sitting through that playoff game, I've never disliked a fan group or like, yo, I'm telling you, man, like they know that they're corny too. They all had like Patriots Brady jerseys on. They're like, man, thank God for Tom Brady. Like, we're living all miserable and Tom Brady came here. And dude, they do their chant and they have their flags. You can't even enjoy the game. Even if we were winning, you couldn't even enjoy the game. There's a bunch of people that are just annoying and they smell and they're at the bottom of the country for a reason, because they don't want them coming up.
Is there so what is the strongest position group that you've seen so far? What is the deepest position group?
I think the line. I mean, the offensive line,
D line and O line.
I mean, offensive line looks pretty solid. You know, but the tight end group, there's a lot of tight ends. I mean, Trey McBride was out here making plays out of Colorado State, likely out of Coastal Carolina, showed out. But the class is deep, and you talk about running backs. We saw Brian Robinson Jr. That dude is rocked up from Alabama. I know Todd was asking earlier, bro. Like I asked Deuce, I said, "Hey, tell me a little bit more about Brian. Like how did Brian Robinson look?" He's like, "Bro, he, and I didn't expect him to give some nuggets." And he's like, "Yo, he's more rocked up than I thought, man. Like I didn't know he was built like that." But it's just like, it's funny because like all these guys are just breaking down everything. They're looking at, you know, like, so who hand size is the thing? Who are they talking about?
Kenny Pickett.
They're like looking at his hands. People are like, did you see Kenny Pickett's hands? Can you take a photo? I'm like,
I shook his hand. It was a terrific handshake.
So just based off of that, is there any sort of tips and tricks that any of these scouts, agents, anything has kind of like a tip that they've told you that you're now looking out for in these players?
Not really, man. I mean, honestly, they're asking us stuff. Like some, what? Like these guys, they're literally just asking us like, oh, what do you think about that? Like, because I went into this week and last week I just been posting Christian Watson, because people have been telling me, like, this is the guy. And, like, he was one of my top guys to watch anyway. And then I didn't even say anything, and I'm just watching this guy. And every single time he's on the field, everyone's like, yo, who is that? And I'm like, that's Christian Watson. I was getting a drink at the stand.
Like, you didn't have Gale fill it up for you? That's the movie.
someone literally nudged me and like, yo, who do you think was the best player in the national team practice after the first practice happens? And I'm like, Christian Watson. Like, yes, like number one with a green helmet was the best player. And like everyone saw it. Like that dude's 6'4", 215, and allegedly he's running a 4.3. He reached 20.71 miles per hour at 6'4". Wow. And he didn't drop a single ball all practice. Because, like, we're watching people drop the ball all practice. This dude didn't drop a ball all practice.
And it is funny. Like, you think about, like, a drop and someone drops a ball. If you look around and if one person drops – like, if a prospect drops a ball, everyone's like, oh.
Well, Dan Campbell has you running, doing push-ups. You drop the ball, you miss a block, anything. Push-ups. Everyone gets around you, and I like that though, man. It's accountability, and it's one of those things. It's just like, can you get like humbled like that? Like, to have everyone on the team know that you messed up.
Are you guys seeing any different drills than your normal? Being
out there? Not in particular. I mean, they're really emphasizing special teams, which I love because it's one of those things. Because these guys got to understand, like, you're not all gonna be getting signed on the team. You're one and playing, so you see these, everyone's punt returning, everyone's a gunner. Like, you see Darian Kendricks, he's like possibly a first round cornerback, dude's running sprints for gunner drills for punting. I mean, the drill wise, I mean, I will say this, Detroit, that team, 100 times more like violent and aggressive. Like, they're trying to keep guys up, like they're not trying to tackle anyone, but like there's dudes doing push-ups. I will say this. Everyone was waiting to see Jermaine Johnson because he's going to be a first-round pick out of FSU, the edge rusher. Mm-hmm. When they did the one-on-ones, it was like watching 300. Like, everyone is, like, just, like, chanting, going crazy, like, making a circle. Jermaine Johnson went against Darian Kennard from Kentucky. Kennard's ranked one of, like, possibly first-round pick, high second-round pick. He's 6'5", 345. This guy's gigantic. He didn't let up a single sack the entire day. They're one-on-one. It's on the timeline. Everyone saw it. Jermaine Johnson grabs him. And like, it looks like what we see every Sunday with Jordan Mailata just like ending people's lives. Opposite. Defensive end plants this guy. I thought he broke his neck. Like, he was on the ground. Like, I have never seen someone that big. His feet were in the air, his neck, and everyone's like, oh my God. Like, everyone thought he like died.
Yeah.
Wow. Like you could hear him hit the ground, and everyone's like, who was that? And it was Jermaine Johnson. And he got up, and Kennard's like, let's go again. And Dan Campbell's like, oh, it was crazy.
I mean, it was, there's a difference between the practices, like how they ran theirs, the Lions, and how the Jets ran theirs. But it was cool to create that atmosphere because I'm like, yo, you're going to let them dudes go again? And so they kept on doing the rep, and Jermaine Johnson was the guy I talked about on the last podcast, the guy that was on Last Chance U, the defensive end who transferred to Georgia and now is at FSU. Definitely, he's making some money out here. He looked great. The thing is, when you're out here, you're trying to, like, obviously this is our first time out here. You're trying to see everyone, and so you have to leave, get your spot and get your space. And then you see them move. And if you want to see these one-on-ones, which is really where all the action is, you got to get up and go and run and get your spot. And then, but it was cool to, I saw Jimmy Kempsky out here. He hit me up on Twitter. He's like, hey man, you're out here. I'm like, so we're going to link up with him. But you saw, you know, a lot of content creators that you respected. That's the cool thing about all these draft guys that you see that are making or breaking these players' stock. It'll be some little small dude in the corner just tweeting in front of his phone, just like
you're talking about yourself right now, dog.
Yeah, but you see this small dude over here, just like he is really
having an impact,
having an impact on the stock here. And it's like, I try to not to kill a player stock. I try to find my guys that I root for. There's a Memphis wide receiver, 5'9", you know, near and dear to my heart. He's a track star. But you're rooting for this dude. And Calvin Austin III, blazing fast. Talk about track speed. Maybe a guy that you're going to play special teams, work the slot. I posted his thing on our feed, and Memphis retweeted that. So he's a guy to check out his highlights, man. Small dude, but he's amazingly fast.
Joyce Belcher wants to know, did you guys happen to see any HBCU athletes or any coaches from HBCU schools?
Yeah, so people were talking a lot about Deion and the impact that's having and the NIL deals. I mean, you should – I wish everyone could have heard Nick Saban and all these top coaches talk about how much they dislike the transfer portal and NIL deals and, like – I don't know if like they're just like salty that these kids are getting salty, paid, but they were like mad. Like I do understand a lot of the like their perspective on
give us their explanation as to why it's bad.
They talked about like, you know, everyone's like now becoming like a hired mercenary versus, you know, like the difference or just like you now have this is probably one of the biggest things. It's like you have these agents now in their head that before they couldn't talk to him for a long time. Now they can talk to him right away. And now behind every agent is a marketer. So now they got the agent, they got the marketing team behind them. So you're going against I'm not going to say against, like they look at it as we're going against like this prospect and his agent and this marketing deal. Like we were talking to this guy, you know, Corey Proctor, he was telling about a prospect that had $1 million deal on the table, but the brand in kombucha was, had this brand of all things. Kombucha is supposed to like some organic thing. I don't know, my girl drinks that, but it's like
kombucha,
whatever. Yeah. So he had $1 million deal on the table and he was ready to go to a college. And he took the deal instead of going to college because he was just like, I'm going to take the deal and make $1 million and get a nest egg. And Corey works in wealth management. He's like, look, you're now allowing players to get this opportunity to make money. Like there's nothing wrong with this, but Saban was like, it was definitely interesting.
I mean, it hurts his roster for sure.
Yeah.
Is there any guys out there that you were really excited, looking forward to seeing that are underwhelming as of so far?
First, I just want to hit Joyce's question. She was asking about the HBCU. The one guy that Gail and I were talking about a lot this week before we got down here was Fayetteville State's cornerback Joshua Williams. He's like a mythical legend down here. He's from Fayetteville, so like the whole South knows about this guy. He's 6'3", 220. He ran 21.75 miles per hour today. This dude looks like Jalen Ramsey, and honestly, he looks like Jalen Ramsey. Yeah. Like he's this big dude. He looks like Sean Taylor. He's like this big dude, and you're looking at him, you're like, there's no way he's gonna move. He moves that fast, and no one got anything on him. So all week, everyone's gonna be watching him because Jim Nagy's been posting about him, and he's from HBCU, and he's like a local legend around here, and everyone was like, get him the Senior Bowl. Get him the Senior Bowl. So there's a lot of HBCU guys, but in general, you're talking about guys who have disappointed. I mean, Desmond Ridder had a really interesting day, quarterback from Cincinnati. I mean, he was just in the championship. People were wondering how he would look. He was really interesting because he would make these really incredible throws, but then, like, the easy shit looked hard. Like, he couldn't dump it off. Slants he was behind, but like these amazing timing routes where like it was like an in-cut dig or something, the ball was there, guy was off and running. Another guy that personally, out of the running backs, Brian Robinson probably didn't get moving as much as I thought he was going to today. The guy who I was really impressed with was the running back that impressed. Oh, FIU, Devontae Price, 6'2", 216. So I saw this kid get a swing pass, and he had Darian Beavers from Cincinnati, one of the top linebackers in this entire draft is like running him down. And then all of a sudden you saw the kid go, oh, he's actually trying to tackle me. 65 yards untouched. No one was
really close speed to after that, huh?
Yeah, dude, but he can catch, he can run. He kind of reminds me of Najee Harris. He's like this bigger back. And like the way he runs though, like a little upright, but like no one was touching him either. But it's going to be cool to see them pads on though.
It is this wide receiver, Alec Pierce from Cincinnati. He's smooth with it. Definitely showed out today. Behind Watson, I thought he had a really solid day. But I'm definitely trying to get my eyes on what's his name? Daniel Falele from
he had a solid day from Minnesota. The one guy that Gale
was from Australia. He's yeah. He was down at the IMG Academy where Trey Thomas coaches. But we met some of his coaches 2 weeks ago in Tampa, and he said, "Hey, it's like, hey, you want a prospect to talk to? I got a guy from Minnesota." And then I'm like, "Oh, this is the dude." But he's from Australia, so imagine having two Australian tackles. Maybe bring him as a swing tackle.
Oh, I forgot my Lotta was Australian, because I was going to say Australian athletes in Philadelphia, it doesn't always work out well.
Good thing you didn't say that then.
Oh, yo, by the way, how cold is it up there up north?
I just it's freezing.
Are you ready? He's ready to rub it in.
No, I was like.
Nah, it's pretty cold. I'm not. It's like in the 20s around me, probably.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Likewise, going outside early in the morning to go to work, and then like just before we hopped on, I was taking care of some house duties and running outside real quick in some shorts. Yeah, that wasn't a great idea. Yeah. It's crazy. The snow's still around here, and then they're talking about another one's gonna hit. And then some rain. So the mixture of the rain and the snow is definitely going to be pretty nasty these next couple of days. So you guys go ahead and enjoy yourselves down there, man.
Yo, but down here, they're freaking out that it's like this cold. It's like 50s and 40s, and people are like, "Yo, it's freezing down here, dude."
When it's 50 degrees, they're saying it's freezing.
Yeah, you're like, "Word, we're about to go."
they're miserable.
We're about to go.
I'm gonna put a t-shirt on.
Yeah, right. Tell me about it. I'll go running around. Throw me some balls or something.
Yeah, it's just I don't know, man. Like driving, I'm gonna be honest, man. Driving through Alabama, through Tennessee into Alabama was like, I was like, when is it gonna end? Like Alabama was like, yo, there's nothing in between.
Yeah.
When I saw Mobile in the far yonder, like I'm now talking.
Is it like farms or like just nothing? What's going on?
Nothing.
All woods, man.
Yo, Chris saw like a sign with a like blood handprint and like some weird saying on it.
Just drive fast and get through there, man. It is it is scary, man. You like you see a gas station, like, oh, we should stop there. It's cheap. It's like it's not worth it.
Yeah,
I'll pay 20 cents more. Just go. Please, just go. Yeah. I've seen the hills have eyes. Just keep going.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, my first at the first hotel we stopped, we were driving like eight hours straight, and then the clerk had a couple questionable face tattoos, and I was like, okay. Okay, I'm just going to my room. We'll be good. Some dude came around the back. I was like, "Yo, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Don't be running up! Don't be running up!" But, the other thing is, we stopped in Tennessee. Shout out to Sarah. She showed us through University of Tennessee.
That looked cool.
That stadium was. We were trying to break into the stadium.
You said Sarah?
Yeah.
Okay. Shout out to
Sarah.
You know, I felt Amanda's like Eric Andre outside of the White House. He's like, "Let me in. Let me in." Dude, like there's like construction workers watching me. I'm literally shaking the gate. And you see like there's just like a little like statue of Peyton Manning looking at me, shaking his head probably.
I was getting ready to ask that. I mean, I know they got statues of Peyton around there. Then I saw the picture of Reggie White up on the wall. Like, that was pretty cool to watch.
That was cool. I totally forgot. I was like, I'm like, Reggie.
Yeah, Reggie. Then, Reggie Street Tennessee.
Also home of Derek Barnett.
Yeah.
And it was funny. I was like, I was like, who's the other?
They didn't waste the picture on that building for him.
Yeah, but definitely.
The fact that he broke Reggie White's records there is like the most like insane thing, because now all we get is 5-yard penalties.
Let's
put some respect on it.
I know.
Yes, I mean, speaking of Super Bowl, I mean, like, are you guys fired up about the Super Bowl? Seeing that it's like,
hell yeah, like, I got cable, bro. I'll be able to watch it.
You got two new teams in the mix.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Evan.
No, I was just gonna say, like I said at the top of the show, this is like a very exciting Super Bowl, just based off the fact that I'm echoing right now. Where the hell am I echoing from? just based off the fact that I don't really care who wins. You know, if Matthew Stafford gets a ring, I'm all for it. He has suffered long enough in Detroit to finally earn it. You know who's in his bag right now is Jared Goff. Watching the Rams go to the Super Bowl right after he gets traded for a lot, too. Like, the Rams gave up a lot in order to get Matthew Stafford. And Detroit got a huge return on that, yet the Rams are in the Super Bowl this year. I'll tell you what, the Rams better pull it off this year, because moving forward, that cap situation is hell. So, you know, but the complete opposite end from the Bengals. I mean, the Bengals cap-wise next year are looking great. Bengals are going to be a legit team if they play their cards right, man, for years to come.
Yep. They just need to get some help so Joe Burrow doesn't end up being a cripple.
They need offensive line, man.
That guy, honestly, like, I've been saying it since the first time I saw him play at LSU, and, like, that was, like, the one thing LSU fans said. In that bowl game when he got, like, delivered to Jesus, and then he said, nah, not yet, and then came back and then got back up. Like, they still lost again. They still lost that game against UCF, but like every player on the sideline, like Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, like they all said, when I saw Joe get up, I knew he was different. And then that next year, they had the greatest offense and greatest national championship run ever. And Joe Burrow has not stopped since then. It's funny though, because everyone talks about Kenny Pickett's hands. And it was the same thing with Joe Burrow in the draft. Like, oh, his hands are small. Joe Burrow literally tweeted, he said, supposedly my hands are small, so shit, I might as well retire. And yeah. So and now look at him now. Blew his knee literally exploded last year. And yeah. Now he's in the Super Bowl because of his efforts. I mean, just so impressed, man. I mean, Joe, that when he escaped that sack, I mean, he escaped a lot last weekend. But the one in the middle where, like, he's getting, like, strangled from behind, dips that, gets outside, high steps, and gets that first down. Like, everyone on Cincy's defense that played, like, a bunch of bums in the first half, and the second half, like, yo, this guy is not going to let us lose. We don't want to be the reason why we lose. And the defense end up shutting Mahomes down the whole rest of the game. So, That guy inspires you, man. That's not just a franchise quarterback, but a guy that is just different. Joe Burrow is different. There isn't a moment in a game where he looks panicked. He's literally on the sideline. If he could wear those sunglasses he wears at his press conference on the sideline, I bet he would. He just sits there, doesn't look at the Microsoft Surface. He's like, nah, it's good. I got Jamar Chase. I got D. Higgins. I got Boyd. I got Mixon. My line can't block. I'll get the ball out to them. Let's go. Like, he knows who he is. He knows the team. And Joe Burrow, man, like, I don't think there's many more people more fun to watch than him. It's very exciting.
Yeah, Joey B could be in his own, like, O-Town or One Direction. Maybe. Like, bro, what are you in, an R&B group or some shit? But I feel the vibe that, like, everyone believes in him, and he's kind of, like, willing his team to victory. I like the fact that, you know, even though he doesn't have the greatest line, he's out here balling. He's slinging the rock. But some people don't realize, but look who he's throwing to. I mean, he's throwing to some dogs out there. Like, he's got some elite weapons. So, I mean, in terms of, I think that what these playoffs really did, they just really made you look, I mean, I think Eagle fans are just, it's hard for them to take it all in and watch a playoff game and think about their own, well, our own situation. Like, all right, where are we at? Or how long will it take? You know, the patience.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, I'd be one to go ahead and tell you, like, as I'm sitting there watching these quarterbacks, you know, from not this past weekend, but all the way from the time these playoffs started and when, since we had been eliminated, it's the truth, though. You're sitting there and you're, like, sighing, like, damn, man, there was no way we were going to go ahead and compete at this level. Like, these guys are just at a whole all-time high, and it's the best playoffs since me being on this planet, you know what I mean, on this earth, like, that's the best football I've seen ever, you know what I mean? And then they follow it up. Now, a lot of people are like, really kind of scared right now, have all these teams blown their load on these playoffs, and then when it comes to Super Bowl, are we going to get a dud out of these two teams?
No way. Not with
I hope not, man. Because, I mean, like, it's set up perfect. You got two new teams. You got two elite quarterbacks who definitely deserve it, Joey B., Matt Stafford, and then you got, like, probably one of the best halftime lineup. Like, I mean, it can't go any perfect. So it's just like it has to be an all-out Super Bowl. So I'm excited about it. You know, it sucks. It's 2 weeks away. Well, this week is going by pretty fast. It's definitely going by pretty fast for you guys because you guys are being entertained every day being down there.
Man, I don't know. The weird thing is, like, it's going to be my birthday week, and I decided to spend it down here. So, I don't know. Like, we thought about going to New Orleans.
Wow.
Like, dipping off because it's only 2 hours away. So I'm like,
oh, word.
We can go to New Orleans.
Might as well make that happen.
For the night and then come back. So then we got this. So, you know, shout out to Adam from Sweat, this Sweat Apparel brand. Awesome stuff. You're going to have to check it out. He's going to hook us up with some gear.
Nice.
But he's doing a photo shoot with a bunch of the players on Friday.
Okay.
He's like, I can get you guys down on the field for the photo shoot. You can come hang out with the. I'm like, say word. And then I've been saying this to Chris the whole time, and it's just like you are where you're supposed to be. Like the amount of people that we've been meeting randomly. Shout out to Trent and Swinton. I don't know if you're watching. Like he definitely was. He's an HBCU student. He's going to law school at Howard right now. He's down here randomly by himself. He was at HBCU combine, but you meet people out here that are out here just trying to make connections and grinding. And you look at that kind of stuff. He rolled up on us. It's like, yo, what are you guys doing here? You know, tell me more about what you guys do. And then he's trying to be a future agent. You know, we're trying to get him connected to some agents that we met this week. And then next thing you know, he's talking to Jalen Hurts' agent while we're there. And it's like these kind of opportunities don't happen for people. They you make them happen. So like he's out here grinding. So, you know, it's just been a great experience just watching things just come together. Like it's you just don't know how they come together, but they do come together. Definitely excited for the next couple of days. We're even trying to go to sleep.
You guys are trying to go to prison in Louisiana. I hear the food's great.
I spent a year in the prison system.
Yeah, yo, I was speaking to Corey and Trenton, and I, you know, there one's on the other side, the other one's on the other side, and I said, yo, tell me what crawfish tastes like, and they were like, and I'm like, they're like, why? I'm like, I've never had crawfish before. They're like, what? Yeah. You ain't never had no crawfish? Like,
have you ever had a cheesesteak, pal?
Yeah, no, God, the example. Coach O would have had him shot, man. Because Coach O is like, I don't know if you ever heard the story from Joe Burrow, but Coach O, when he heard that Joe Burrow was leaving Ohio State, Coach O went all the way up to Ohio, where Joe is from, little town, and he's like, hey, Joe. He goes, we'll go get some food. And just like, yeah, Coach O, we can go get some food. And he goes, okay, which restaurant got crawfish? And he goes, and he's like, all right, we can go here. They have crawfish. He's like, okay, sounds good. So they get to the restaurant, and Coach O's like, I'll have a 10-pound crawfish. Thank you, dude. And the woman's like, oh, I'm sorry, we don't have crawfish today. And Joe's like, oh, they usually have crawfish. Sorry, Coach. Don't worry about it. Coach Orgeron pulls out a phone. Yeah. Okay, I'm here. 15 minutes later, a giant freight truck shows up with a tub of crawfish, and he made them cook it in the back. So that story is from the national championship week during the press conferences, like just how they have for the Super Bowl, they have for college football. And Joe Burrow told that story, and he said, "That's when I'm like, I'm going to LSU. Coach O is the coolest fucking guy in the world. Imagine, he's a crawfish guy. This guy literally drives a truck and follows Coach O where he goes and drops off crawfish if he needs it." So I'm like, God,
he lost some weight too.
Yeah, dude. Yo, so I don't know. It's really funny. Like, you see how tan Coach O is? That's not a spray tan or anything.
That's
He calls the son Ray Baker because he says the son's going to bake your ass. Every morning he wakes up when he was a coach at LSU, and he's like, "I got to go see Ray Baker." And he would run. Every day he would run shirtless around the campus. Wow. Miles, and every single player, like, players weren't running, they're on golf carts. "Hey, Coach O," you'd see Jamar Chase, "Coach O," he goes, "Jamar, get to class," and you just see him every morning. They'd see him, like, he was like a celebrity down there, man. Definitely gonna miss him at LSU, but cool guy.
I mean, the fact that he came there, you know, those are his former players, and he's out there just supporting out here on the sidelines, and just, you know, checking out the players.
Scooped up by school yet?
No. So he left LSU, and I don't think that he switched anywhere else yet. But in general, because I was talking to Damone Clark, the linebacker from LSU, would love to get him. And it was one of those things where, like, they were asking all these questions. They said, like, "What does it mean to you to have Coach O here? He's not even, like, at LSU anymore." And they said, like, he literally was just like, "Yeah, like, Coach O called and hit all the players up that are down here." And I was like, "Yeah, like, I'm coming." And they're like, "Oh, I love Coach O. Like, he came all the way over here." I know it's not that far because Louisiana. But at the same time, you know what I mean, man? He could be doing anything. He'd be in a tub of crawfish. But he came all the way down here to support his guys. And it was just really cool because, dude, you saw high school coaches, college coaches, like, out there. Parents out there watching these kids and, like, it just kind of reminds you that, like, we've been in angry stadiums. We're Eagles fans. Like, yeah, you remember, like, the family side of it. Like, these are young dudes, a lot of them, and, like, they're living dreams and they're trying to put food on the table for their families, generational wealth. And you got to remember, sometimes the stadium, you're sitting next to their family. So before you tell someone that they should, like, that they suck or something, like, you just gotta remember that sometimes because they're trying, man. I mean, unless the guy is just a complete bum, they're trying.
I see them do it. They're catching punts, right? And Prime would have definitely not liked the way they were catching punts. But you're like, bro, you out here, like, this is like the job interview of your lifetime right now. And the way that they were, this guy, I'm not even calling him out right now. But I'm like, what are you doing? But then I was looking at my guy Trent, and I was like, it's not like there's any pressure out here, you know, and just the whole, you know, generational wealth, you know, setting your family up for success. All the
coaches in the NFL standing there.
It's no pressure at all, right? And we and him were both punt returners, and we were just he's like, "Well, bro, I would have caught that shit." I was like, "Come on, man." I was like, it definitely can be a pressure situation. And there was one other guy that his camp had reached out. He's going to set him up for a talk with the prospect. I'm not going to call him out either, but I know, you know, they want eyes on their players. Like, let me know what he's looking like. And then you're like, bro, he had a bad day. Like, he had a terrible day. You know, like, I don't even want to, like, reach back out to him, like, and say what happened because it was so bad. Yeah. But
one of the most interesting things that you guys and Eagles fans are going to hear is that we're meeting people down from Texas, and we're meeting people that have been playing all over the place. And she read my mind, put that back up there. All these guys, like, "Oh, you guys are Eagles fans." I'm like, "Yeah." They're like, "What did you guys do to Jalen Reagor?" And we're like, "What?" And they're like, "He was the guy around here, like, where we're from." I'm like, "I know." I'm like, "In Texas, he was the guy." Like, he had offers from every top school, Oklahoma. Like, him and CeeDee Lamb were literally going to be, like,
1-2. Yes. Yep.
Like, those guys were linked together. And they're just, like, everyone knew that he was going to be, like, really good in the NFL. And, like, we're talking to Trenton because Trenton played football in Dallas. Like, he knows all these guys. He played against Jalen Hurts. Like, he's like, yeah, he's like, we kicked the shit out of Jalen Hurts in high school. Like, and he knows all these guys. And he goes, yo, like, I don't know what happened to Jalen Reagor. Cause like coach D-Rob that I interviewed, who works out with Patrick Mahomes, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham Jr., Jalen Reagor. They're like, yeah, like Jalen was like cooking people at all these camps and like all these practices in the summer. And now he's getting like booed at the link. Like, what happened? And I'm like, yo, like, I don't even think he knows what happened. And he goes, and we're like, he might just need a new spot, man. Like, cause it's just one of those things where like, that's what happens to people, man. Like, you just need a new spot. Like, not to compare him to anyone that's been great and had a revival in somewhere else, but like, sometimes that just happens, man, because you just need a new spot. Cause like Nick Sirianni in the ending press conference was like, oh yeah, like Jalen's really talented, blah, blah, blah. And people in the comments, I was watching a live press conference, people were like, get this guy off my team. He's not good. Nick, you're a liar. Like screaming. And I'm like, yeah, like I think it's time, man. Like I like the dude. Like we met him at the link. But I just think he's just like exhausted here and he just needs a new spot. Because this is crazy. Like all these guys from Dallas and Texas, like, yo, like he's that dude. Like people were like, yo, like Jalen Reagor was that guy. Like people really believe in him and still do. It's crazy because they're like, we can't explain it. And I'm like, of course that happens to us, you know what I mean? Like this guy that was like the guy in Texas, the football mecca, comes here and then all of a sudden just like can't get it going.
No, it was definitely concerning for some of these Dallas content creators. They're just like, that was the first thing they said, just rolled up like, tell us what's going on with Jalen Reagor. And I'm like, okay, you also seem very concerned.
Yeah. The one guy's like, yeah, I used to DM him and now he doesn't answer me. I'm like, yeah, because all day all he gets DMs from fans like, get your ass out of here. I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't answer my DMs either.
Yeah, Pete, Traylon's not down here.
Yeah, Birch isn't down here.
It would be nice. It would definitely be nice. So how you guys, you know, I'm sorry. Like first, I didn't know there was a change difference. So in the hours, so I'm here. I'm like, it's 8 o'clock, and you're like, it's 9 o'clock over here. I didn't even know. So Chris is like, yo, we're like an hour behind. Yeah. We're all fucked up the first day we got here. We're like all doing shit an hour early. We're like, bro.
Yeah, no, changing time zones is always a pain in the ass, man. Mm-hmm. At least 1 hour isn't as bad as, like, going all the way to the West Coast, but I'm sure you still definitely feel it when you first get there.
Just want to give
especially after driving 16 hours, man. Fuck that.
Oh, yeah. You don't even – you're already in the twilight zone when you start seeing, like giant crosses and, like, bloody signs down in Alabama. I'm like – as soon as you see the hotel sign – you're like, okay, civilization, let's go. Waffle House, like you're solid. But yeah, just want to do a quick overview of some of the top guys from today. I know people in the chat were really interested. UCLA's defensive tackle, Otito Ogbenian, 6'3 and a half, 326, had a really good day, strength and power. UConn's D tackle, Travis Jones, 6'4 and 3/8, 326. LSU's tackle, Neil Farrell Jr., 6'4", 325. I mean, you see tackles from LSU translate really well with D tackles and all over the place. I mean, Lael Collins, offensive tackle on the Cowboys. Sadly, he's amazing for them. But the one guy that's really interesting was Darian Kennard, Kentucky, the tackle. He was amazing all day until Jermaine Johnson almost broke his neck. Jermaine Johnson was a guy that is shooting up boards. Daniel Jeremiah, he thinks that four of the top 30 players are all the defensive linemen. And I don't think he's wrong. I mean, not everyone's down here, but there's a lot of guys down here. I mean, Majai Sanders from Cincinnati, really nice guy. We got to meet him. He's really impressive. And obviously, Eagles fans want to talk about the linebackers. I mean, Chad Muma from Wyoming, big dude, but flies. I mean, if you want a guy that looks like – it's hard to describe him. I mean, Logan Wilson was his teammate at Wyoming before, and now he's on the Bengals in the Super Bowl. Eagles, we talked about him with you guys a couple years ago. No, 2 years ago, last year during the draft process. I mean, linebackers, man, they're premium. Darian Beavers from Cincy, he's a stud. But overall, man, like, you're just seeing guys. And do you guys think – here's one guy that I really like. I mean,
Everyone liked him. Everyone was talking about him all over the place. It was Greg Dulcich from UCLA. I think it was a walk-on, 6'4", 250 tight end. He had everyone buzzing. I mean, what do you guys think? This is one thing I want to ask you guys. Do you guys think that we're going to draft a tight end since Ertz left and Jackson tore his ACL, Richard Rodgers is getting a little older? I mean, I really think the Eagles are going to draft a tight end because this is a really sneaky class with the running backs and tight ends, with the tight ends. I think there's a huge value there, and this is a guy from UCLA that was really intriguing.
I think with the depth there at tight end position, it'd be a perfect time to bring in a dude. I saw Ridgeway. His nickname is the Vanilla Gorilla. He's from Arkansas. He had a good day out there, man. He's putting in work. He had a good day at a Coastal Carolina, the tight end. Again, Malik Willis was slinging the rock. Chad Muma, I was checking him out in pass coverage. Really wanted to see how he's very instinctual, and he said he's coming on to talk to prospects. That's what he said. Nice. So linebackers for y'all who want the next Logan Wilson. Hopefully he boosts the stock up out here. Who else was I was gonna say? Yeah, for me, Jermaine Johnson, man. Made him some money, I think, today. Now it's kind of like you go into the day one. There's players that you want to see. The next practice, I'm looking for the other players that are on my list. You know, really trying to. I really need to get down and see the linemen a little bit closer.
What time the practices start tomorrow?
Same time, 11:30.
11:30. We get up around probably around 8. Get the free breakfast here.
Nice.
Get over to the stadium.
Love free breakfast.
But the thing is really getting down there early to actually network, man. I mean, there's just so many people to network with.
Well, the big thing is tomorrow we're actually going to the hotel where the players and coaches stay, and we're getting in there, getting some gear from Adam. And he's like, all the players and coaches are literally just like sitting in the lobby. He's like, and you can chill all of them. And luckily we met like probably like 50, 60% of the players already. And like, they're already saying what's up to us, so it'll be cool, man, just hanging out in the lobby with all these guys. And, like, they're cool, man. Like, these guys, like, they're very professional, good guys. They know what they're doing. But they're chilling, man. It was cool, though, because, like, it's, like, the last time before they really enter, like, the biggest, like, weeks and months of their lives. Like, they still have that camaraderie with, like, college guys, like, you see guys from like rival schools hanging out, and you wonder why. It's because they grew up in the same town and just went to different colleges. So like, you see an Alabama guy with his arm around a guy from Clemson, and it's just like, yeah, man. Like, me and this guy have known each other since preschool, and like, that's why it's cool stories. You know what I mean? Like, these are guys that were like 1% of the 1% to get to college, let alone the NFL, and now they're in the Senior Bowl. So that's why I love doing it, man. Stories like seeing these guys, like. Guys coming from nothing, man. And like, now they're being coached by Dan Campbell and Robert Saleh, and they're getting ready for the biggest week of their lives.
The thing about I've seen a lot, man, the love for Devontae Smith down here is real. Like, you know, we talk about legend status. Like, you know, we got Devontae in Philly. Yeah, he's like, to us, he's a GOAT. You know, he's a GOAT, a GOAT. He's goated, sort of. Mm-hmm. A young GOAT. But down here, like, the love, like, we walked in the store, the vault down here, got an Alabama swag all over the place, and the owner of the store was just so, the way that he spoke about Devontae, that was actually the second take, because of the first take I was like, he was just flowing, and I said, bro, I'm sorry, man, do you think I can film me real quick just talking about Devontae? Because just the way you said it so eloquently, I just need Eagle fans to hear that it's very genuine. It's like they talk about, you know, like some dude that played at their high school and they watched for years. So just the fact that everywhere, you know, you see Eagle stuff and they're like, y'all taking care of our boy Devontae up there, you know, like, like, it's kind of cool to see the love, man, for him. So that's pretty cool.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
I know, any last words from you guys? I mean, you guys, been, you know, fighting the snowstorms. I know you've been fighting the move in the snowstorm, Evan. I mean, you got your neighbors in the backyard with some activity going on.
It's an interesting area. It's a lot going on. Let's just say I keep my windows open. I look around. There's a lot going on.
The life you wanted, that's the life you get.
No snitching, Ev. No snitching, Ev.
I don't, never.
I was straight man. You didn't meet the neighbors yet, right? You said?
Did not meet the neighbors. They seem friendly.
He said that with a bold-faced lie.
Yeah, no, it's good. For real, though, the move has been good. You know, just I'm excited for you guys. It is a really awesome experience. You guys are just like, I'm talking, you know, I talk with Gail all the time on the phone, and just the experience that you guys are getting down there right now, just it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Hopefully it's not once-in-a-lifetime. Hopefully this is a yearly thing, but just for you guys to be building this rapport with these future NFL stars is huge, man. Thinking about these guys somewhere down the line, some of these guys you are talking to are, you know, going to be all pro, you know, Pro Bowl players. They're going to be some potentially even Hall of Fame players somewhere 10, 15 years down the line. So the fact that you guys are in there before they even get drafted, building rapport and hopefully having a relationship with them throughout their career is amazing. And, you know, keep on grinding, guys. You guys are killing it.
Yeah, and then the thing we've been saying, we're like, oh, man, I wish these dudes were here, man. Like, this next year, you guys got to come down. It's just it's just a great experience that I don't think, like, I've been talking about this going down here for years. So just the fact that I'm down here now, it's even more than I thought it was. Like, I didn't, because I've heard all the stories. So just overall, it's been a mind trip. But now we're in the middle of the thick of it. You know, we're still trying to, like, you got to do your job down here. You just got to be, like, focused and
make sure you stay in well lit areas.
I'm doing the howie.
You see any burning crosses in the distance? You stay the fuck away.
Oh, but I am on the Howie Sirianni watch as they walk around practice. I'm looking where they're going.
Oh, so. Nice.
hey Chris, they got a meme. If you see the black man running, don't hesitate. You run with them, okay?
if I run, you run with me, man.
Exactly. Nah, but I'm you know, just like what Evan mentioned, man. I'm happy for both of you guys too. It's definitely something we missed out on, but you know, I'm glad you two got the opportunity. I mean, you guys are perfect for the fit. This is what you guys love. This is around the time of the year that you guys are. Throw, you know, your best work in, Chris, especially with you, man. You know, this is what you live for with the draft and the stats and seeing these upcoming players coming into the NFL. So, you know what I mean? It's a great opportunity for you, man. So I'm really happy for you. You know, you can see your smile from chin, you know, from side to side in these pictures that you keep on posting up, man. So you definitely fit in, and I'm glad you're getting that opportunity. You got to meet the LSU head coach today. So, you know, that was big too, man. But you know, you guys just stay safe, keep grinding, man. Enjoy the rest of the time down there. And you know, Gail, you just make sure you behave yourself when it comes to these coaches and stuff, because you get real kiddish and everything, man.
Hey, you guys want to take a picture?
Yeah, I was telling Evan, I was like, yo, man, there's so many people that I'm meeting out here. I don't even want to throw it up on the timeline because I don't want to be like, hey, but
yeah,
you know,
be that guy.
But it's these experiences that you just like, man, like, I ain't never gonna get this anywhere else. So I was at some of the stuff I'm not even sharing, but it's kind of like, overall the experience has been great. Again, man, I have to tell everyone, just start going out, just go out and experience stuff. So you've got stories to tell. Eat hot sauce.
Did you bring
some of that Louisiana yet?
I did not.
Lando's down with you?
I had it in the I was gonna pack it in my bag and bring it with me, but I
that's crazy because me and wifey just had some Louisiana.
Oh yeah,
before we got on. We had today's Taco Tuesday, so we spiced up the tacos. I'm trying to tell y'all, man, I still don't get how you guys don't have hot sauce on tacos. Like, I don't know what's wrong with you still. Chris, do you eat hot sauce with taco?
Yes.
Well, these two don't.
Like a baller.
What?
These two don't. These two don't believe in it. It's against their religion.
What? That's how can you eat Mexican food without hot dogs?
Because you put the spices in the meat and then you dip it in sour cream and you're good.
You still do that, but you still gotta have your hot
sauce. You only need to dip it in sour cream because there's hot sauce on it.
Yeah,
little Cholula, little Verde, little Roja. Come on,
I'm putting the hot sauce on a crawfish. That's what I'm gonna do. Okay. And I would report. Yeah, I told the dude, the dude's like, real talk, why would you eat a crawfish? And I was like, because they remind me of like roaches.
That's fighting words.
Yeah, I was gonna say you better watch where you say that, man. That's their delicacy. Like,
you're a cockroach. Go back to Philly.
Make sure Coach O don't hear you say that.
Yo, Ev, you've had crawfish?
I have had crawfish one time before. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm saying. I'm gonna try it. Like I'm not the dude that doesn't try stuff. I'll try it. I'll try anything. Yo, I mean, they do look at people call lobsters like roaches of the ocean, don't they?
I haven't heard that. Lobsters are pretty expensive shit, bro.
That's the first time I heard that term.
Yeah. But these things are smaller.
I think
they look like shrimp. Don't they look just like shrimp?
Yeah, they do. Crawfish do.
Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10, crawfish over lobster. Lobster what? You give lobster what?
I mean, lobster is like a fucking $50 plate. Crawfish is not.
So you're giving lobster a 10. What is a crawfish?
Oh, like a 4, like a 3.
Oh, see, that doesn't mean to a lobster. Pricey.
But I'm saying, supposedly down here, it's just different, man, because they do the crawfish.
They might rate it the opposite way down there.
Yeah.
But down here, they have, like, all the spices. They have, like, potatoes, corn. Like, they put that all with the crawfish, and they dump that right on the table. And hopefully an infant isn't under the table because they'll get burned alive. Like, literally, like, I've seen that, man. Like, down south, they're like, move away from the table. Here comes crawfish. And they literally just dump a giant... like barrel.
Yeah, I see.
At LSU tailgates, dude, they bang, crawfish, infant, gone. Like flown down, just like floating down the river.
See,
like, it's a very heavy southern accents down there. Has there been any not being able to understand what some people are saying?
Well, when I was in
Tennessee, Coach O was the closest one, but unfortunately, I have twang with some words now, and I'm like,
I was in Tennessee and I heard two guys. They're like, "Man, I hate this. I think I've had 10 Mountain Dews, man. I've been trained long years playing video games. I think I drank already."
I remember being in South Carolina one year. We drove down and we went to a Kentucky Fried Chicken. It was a Kentucky Fried Chicken. I couldn't understand the lady. I had to get somebody to order for me. I had to literally get the gentleman behind me, and I'll tell him, "Hey, listen, this is what I want. Can you go ahead and repeat it down?" Well, she understood what I was saying, but I could not get what she was, you know, repeating back to me. So it was just like, yeah, I needed my man to go ahead and handle it for me.
The funniest thing, though, is right after Nick Saban got done talking, this guy turns to the person in front of me and goes, "Man, forget football. I know how to raise my kids now." And I was like cracking up, like, the way he said it. Like Nick Saban literally is a god down here. I mean, I understand why, but he's very impressive. But like, he was talking about like teaching like football players and everything. And this guy's like, he's like, "I've been teaching my kids everything wrong. I'm just gonna do what Nick Saban does." Like,
but they literally blocked the road off like he was a president down here. Yeah, we're
he might as well be, bro. He is.
And before they left, they said, "Nick, could you give us a tip on how to raise your children?" And I'm like, this is weird. Like Nick Saban, like you're gonna. And he was like giving them tips how to raise your children and how to listen to their.
And you put work first.
Let them think it through, even though you don't agree with them. Just let them think it through, and you know, don't judge them, even though it's something you've never done before. But like you do realize, you know, why players play for him, you know, like they love, again, he was bigging up Devontae Smith, man. I can see where he's like, he did make a point about the transfer portal, and he kind of like laughed at the idea of players transferring out instead of sitting and competing and waiting, which is kind of, I was like, bro, transfer, get your money.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, I just, you know, that's, I think.
Glad to update you guys and appreciate you guys.
Keep the content coming, man. You guys are on the front lines right now. You are our liaison to everything that's going on. So
we're about to get some crazy weather down here the next 3 days.
Oh, so, like 55 degrees. Watch out.
No, we're literally getting like a crazy storm, like thunder, lightning, and like a ton of rain. So like you're probably gonna see a video of me on like NFL Network, like the only one on the field with like with an umbrella.
Yo,
Malik. Yeah. Malik.
We literally got an interview, Malik. We literally got a laminated paper.
Nice. Good move. Wow. Good move.
We're ready. We're ready for anything.
Yo, that was the funniest thing, man. Like how ill prepared people were. Like I went to Staples the week before and I got everything laminated because I knew it was gonna rain. I'm like here with like my stuff. I'm like looking at notes. Every single person saw that I had a roster. Like, man, where do you get a roster from? I need a roster. And like, there's people like running to the ticket stand and like, they're all out. And like, everyone's like looking through their phone to like figure out who the players are. And I'm like,
come prepared.
You did your homework. Yeah. You guys did your homework, man.
What's going on down here?
That's what's up.
But appreciate y'all sticking in. Everybody in the comments, appreciate y'all chiming in. If any of you guys have any questions about prospects, you want us to look at, you know, I know a lot of people were asking me about Muma, Chad Muma. If you got any guys, just let me know and I'll try to stop. And we're trying to get a lot of these interviews after the Senior Bowl. So we're linking up with players, their agents, and just trying to lock those in. So be ready and stay tuned for Talk to Prospects. So we're going to have a lot of top-notch guys.
Hey Chris, one last favor for me, man. Keep an eye out on my Canes. Let me know how my Canes boys are.
You know I got you, bro. I'm a U fan too, man.
There you go. There my you brother go.
And I grew up U fans.
That's what's up.
You're a U fan?
Oh yeah, Sean Taylor is one of my favorite players of all time.
Come on,
nothing wrong with these. No, but yeah, guys, we got Kenny Pickett, Christian Watson, Malik Willis, Roger McCreary, Majai Sanders, Kobe Bryant, Chad Muma, Tariq Carpenter. We got a bunch of guys lined up, got all their contacts ready to go. We're going to have Talk to Prospect episodes coming up next couple weeks as soon as these guys calm down a little bit. But Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis, crazy.
Hey, man. Hey, thanks for everyone for sticking around. We'll see you guys in the next one. And as always,
go Birds. Fly, Eagles, fly. And it was wrong.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.